We're learning about blessings for Bnei Noach. Which blessings should they say or not say for food? I thought it would be an important thing to just learn just a few minutes dedicated to Birchas Hamazon, the blessing after the food. And actually, we're going to learn it within the text. I'll explain later. But I said in the previous classes that it's not proper for non-Jews to recite the classical four blessings after the food that Jews recite after eating bread or whatever that comes with the bread. And I wanted to explain this why. So again, there are four blessings. I already explained what the four blessings are and so on. I'm not going to repeat. But if you look at the blessings, the text of the blessings, it's really weird for non-Jews, except for the first one. Just the first blessing is like a general thing. And moreover, it does actually mention every single creature in the world. That includes human beings. I mean, Jews and non-Jews, human beings, and even animals, because God gives food to animals also. So just the first blessing, a person, a non-Jew, could say, I want to say it. I'm not going to say you're forbidden to say it. No, I'm not going to say that. Does it really sound correct? I don't know. I have my doubts. I don't have a proof, so to speak, a text to say, look, here it says, you should not say it. No, I don't have that. I have to be clear and transparent as much as I can. But it sounds weird to cut something that our sages put together, three blessings, and then they add another blessing, as I explained before, and to say, I'm just going to say the first blessing. It sounds weird because we don't find, and this is a very important point, at least this is the way I understand it. I do know that other rabbis understand it differently. Okay, this is me, whatever. This is what you got. No hair, glasses, and so on. So this is what I say. If a non-Jew wants to fulfill one of the commandments of the Jews, the Rambam says clearly he can do it, she can do it, whatever, according to the laws of the Jews. That means you cannot, and this is something that the Rambam says so clear when he defines the laws, when he explains the laws for non-Jews. He's not defining, he's explaining because they are defined in the Talmud and so on. But the Rambam is very clear, there's a prohibition of making a new religion. There's no such a thing as a new religion. What does that mean? It means the following, very simple. There are many, many religions around the world, Hindu and Christianity, and whatever, all kinds of things. So we're not, like Jews and rabbis and so on, we're not going around the earth saying, you're doing wrong, you have to stop this, and do whatever you want with your life. What do you want from me? However, but if you come and ask, oh, so you do want to know what the rabbis say. So now you have to do what the rabbi tells you. That means this is Judaism. This way, that way, and so on, that we have defined in our text and holy texts and books and so on. Something that a person thinks it's nice and God loves it. Who told you it's right? You're wrong. And you're not allowed to make a new religion. So, if a person, that's on the Rambam. Now let's go back to the blessing after the food. Our sages explained that the blessing after the food has four blessings. Today has four blessings. Nobody argues this. It's in the Talmud and so on. So, if a person wants to make just one blessing, because it sounds nice, as I'll explain in a second, you're not doing what actually every single Jew does. You're not doing what the Jewish law says to do. You're making up your own thing, so to speak. I'm just going to say one blessing. I'm not saying the four blessings. It's too long. Whatever. I don't like them. So I'm just saying one blessing. Where do you get that from? Where do you get that from? On the other side, if you say the blessings that are instituted by our sages or that our sages show us that, for instance, Avraham Avinu said, and he taught other people to say, Avraham and so on. So you're doing what the Torah says. Wait a second, there's no Jew that actually says what Avraham Avinu said. What do you say? You have to say the blessing. Okay, wait a second. There are rules for Jews, there are rules for non-Jews. And we find and we look and find in the texts, in the holy texts, what would be the laws for Jews? Sometimes the rabbi makes a mistake. Yeah, for sure. I'm a human being. I can make lots of mistakes. And I do lots of mistakes. But this is my humble opinion. Now, if you look at the first blessing, I'm not going to translate the whole thing. It's very easy to find everywhere in Google. You just Google around blessing after the food for Jews, and you're going to say the text. So you don't need me to give a perfect English class on translation and so on. So if you look at the first blessing, again, it mentions that God sustains the whole world with his kindness and mercy. And then it says that he mefarnes lakoil, he sustains everybody. And then he says lechol briyos asher bara, to all the creatures that he created. So again, it's talking about every single type of creature around the world, human and not human, that can eat. And that's what we're blessing for. And actually, the blessing finishes, blessed are you, God, whatever, has done as a kill, that he sustains everything. So that blessing, if you're going to ask, does it make sense for non-Jews? The answer is yes. Should non-Jews say it, just this blessing? My answer would be no. That would be my answer. Maybe other rabbis' answer would be yes. Okay, that's fine. But you're not doing like what the Jews do. You're doing your own thing. Is that creating a new religion? In my humble opinion, yes. Because that's not what the Jewish religion teaches. Everybody agrees to this? No. Again, this is my humble opinion, so and that's it. Now, the next blessings, we have three more blessings. They're kind of complicated for non-Jews. Because, first of all, it talks about the inheritance that we have from our fathers. Which kind of inheritance? The land of Israel. So in a very simple, I'm not dealing over here with Kabbalah and mysticism, forget it. Very simple way. Did God give the land of Israel to non-Jews? The answer is no. That's it. I'm sorry. Like it or not, that's a different story. The answer is no. So the whole blessing basically talks about that. The land of Israel, and where it's so big and so nice and so this and so that. So what are you saying by reciting this blessing? Doesn't make any sense. And then the blessing finishes saying that we thank God for the good land that he gave us, and thank you for the land of Israel and for food. Wait a second, why are you thanking for the land of Israel? You could answer, yeah, I'm thanking God that he gave the Jews the land of Israel. What are you saying? You just ate, not another Jew. You ate, and now you want to make a blessing, and you're thinking that God gave... Oh, that doesn't make any sense. To me, at least, it doesn't make any sense. Then, next blessing, we're already in the third, talks about Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim, and the Beis Hamikdash, and Jerusalem, and the temple, and so on. And again, God, like it or not, did not give this to non-Jews. And then he talks furthermore. And it's interesting. We ask God not to rely on anybody else, any basar vadam, that's the way the text actually calls it, no flesh and blood person. We don't want to rely on anybody. And this includes Jews and non-Jews, both. So a person is asking God, I want to rely on you, not on human beings. And this is, interestingly, for Bnei Noach, not a new thing. When Noach, actually Noach, the original one, came out of the ark after the flood and so on, he sent a pigeon to search, whatever, for land and whether the flood actually stopped and so on. And it came back with a thing of olive tree. Why olive tree? Why not another tree? There are so many trees around. Why this tree? So our sages explain. Very interesting. In the ark, Noach had to feed every single animal. And there are many, many stories that our sages actually talk about regarding Noach and the lion Noach and this chameleon, this one, the animal that changes the colors and so on. So many stories, very interesting stories. But the point is that Noach, he actually was the one giving food to all the animals. So when the pigeon came back or whatever, this animal came back, this bird came back with an olive tree, it was given a message for Noach. The message was, I prefer that my sustenance is bitter, like the olive. The original olive is like a bitter, very bitter fruit, and then we make it nice, whatever, but originally it's bitter. I prefer my my food to be bitter in the hands of God and not sweet in the hands of men. So bye-bye. Thank you very much. That's it. I'm relying on God. So it's exactly the same message over here that we actually say, we don't want to rely on everybody and anybody. I just want to rely on God, on his open hand and so on, blah, blah, blah. And then the blessing finishes. Thank you for Jerusalem. And go build Jerusalem. Again, doesn't make any sense that a non-Jew says this. And then the fourth blessing talks about, it's more like general. It's more like general. But basically also talks about all the praises that we give God and we ask God to come back to the land of Israel. It doesn't make any sense. So that's my humble opinion on why Birchas Hamazon doesn't make sense for non-Jews to recite it. That doesn't mean that they don't have to recite the blessing after the food. Yes, this is what we're learning. They do have to recite and so on. Or they could recite. They're not obligated, but they could recite. But not this blessing. Doesn't make any sense? Doesn't make any sense. Okay. Let's go back. We are in our text. It's a tough text. Today it's going to be even tougher than the previous ones. So hold on to your chair. But we're not going to learn every single law in the second chapter of this small book that we're learning. And the reason is very simple. The main subject of this chapter is Birchas Hamazon, what we just mentioned that we don't say for non-Jews. So it doesn't make any sense to go crazy, really, really crazy, understanding all the details and cases that the Alter Rebbe brings, whether you should say the blessing, which blessing, how it is working, and so on, and the measurements, and so on. So I'm not going to teach the whole chapter. You could actually go read the chapter. It's not forbidden, no problem. You could read the chapter. The text is in English, so it's easy. But talks a lot about measurements. And we already mentioned that the Rambam says clearly that measurements were not given to non-Jews. Let's start from law number 5. The 4 previous laws talk about when you should say the blessing after the food, Birchas Hamazon, the 4 blessings and so on that I defined before, which is the measurement, how much food you have to actually eat, whether you have to be satisfied or not, because the verse says in Parshas Ekev, V'achalta v'savata uverachta. V'achalta v'savata means you will eat, you will feel satiated, and then you will bless. So this blessing is related to basically a full belly. Do you have your belly full of food or not? So that's what Alter Rebbe discusses over there. Let's start with number 5. There is something called, in Hebrew, kvius seuda. Kavua in Hebrew means a fixed meal. It's not the same thing when you go somewhere and you just eat some crackers and some cookies and so on and that's it. Or you really sit in a chair with a table and they serve you the food and so on. Kvius seuda means a fixed meal. You really sat down and you served somebody else or somebody else served. It doesn't really make a difference. But the point is, this is called, I'm inviting you to my house for a meal. It's not just some crackers. Hey, have some crackers. You want to drink something? Yeah, no. We're talking about a fixed meal. So when a person eats a fixed meal, according to certain measurements and so on, that we're not going to learn, don't worry, you're not missing anything, you have to say actually the proper blessing after eating this fixed meal. Now, there is no such a thing as a fixed meal without either bread or wine. It has to contain bread and wine to be called a fixed meal. Otherwise, it's like a temporary thing. Yeah, I'm just giving you something to eat and move on. And the discussion over here that we're going to learn now is what's called bread. What is actually a bread that a person sits and invites somebody to a fixed meal and so on? What is a bread? Okay, so that's number 5. These are the types of breads that people actually fix. Likvoya seuda, you fix a meal on these breads. And that Rebbe brings 3 words. These 3 words are a headache because in Jewish law, not because of the Alter Rebbe. But the Alter Rebbe brings these 3 words that are found in the Talmud. And then generation after generation, our sages argue, what are these 3 things? What are these 3 things? So first of all, it says lachmanios. Then it says truknin, words in Aramaic. And then it says pasababi kisanin. literally speaking, lachmanias is some kind of lechem. Lachmanias is the same word, lechem, some kind of bread, but it's not bread. Whatever that means, we'll learn. Patience. And then he says truknin. What does that mean? I don't know. We'll learn. Patience. And then he says, again, just literal translation, a bread, pas, means a piece of bread, that comes in packets. Kisana means a packet. What do you mean a packet? What does that mean? What kind of bread is this? Okay, he's going to explain. What does it mean? Lachmanio is this bread, breadish thing. That means a piece of bread that is very thin, really thin bread. And the way it was prepared was with water, like flour with water, and very soft, very like liquidish, and not a thick dough. No way. Like a regular bread is water and flour, and it's thick. And you leave it, and it grows, and then you put it in the oven. Very nice. That's called bread. But in this case, no. You're actually preparing something very liquid, very liquidy. And you cannot actually work it with your hands because it's like a liquid. It's like liquid, literally. And then he brings another of these words that appears around in the Talmud quite a lot when discussing these laws, sufganin. Sufganiyot today is like these donuts that people do, like these things. Okay, that's what usually in modern Hebrew is called sufganiyot. So the point is over here, is something that it's a dough, quote unquote, that you cannot work it with your hands at all. And you poured this in some kind of plate or something like that. You put it in the oven. Or, moreover, you didn't put it in the oven. You put it in a pan without any liquid. No liquid. Because the thing itself is liquidy, so you don't need any other liquids. You just put it in the pan, and of course in the fire, okay? The oven has fire, the pan has fire. And even though it is called lechem, it is called bread, regarding the laws of challah and matzah, and I'll explain in a second, bear with me, it is called bread for other groups of laws. However, since people do not fix a meal on this kind of bread, so our sages did not institute to say amoitzi, you should make this bread, this blessing for the bread, and the blessing after the meals with four blessings and so on. No, you should say bore mina mezaynes. Now, what is this thing of challah and matzah? Before understanding these two words, which are not difficult, but I want to explain a concept in Jewish law, which is very, very misunderstood by even Jews learning Torah and so on. The concept is called a din. Din means law. That's the translation of the word din, like dinim, laws, and so on. Justice, whatever. In Torah, there are groups of laws, dinim. And some, it's like the theory of, how do you say, conjuntos, when in mathematics, today they don't learn like this. I don't know. Today they destroyed the school, the education, they destroyed everything. But I used to learn in, how do you say, conjunto, like a group. A group of numbers, a group of things, and then you put together different things into one group and so on. Like with little balls, and then a group of things, a group of numbers, and so on. Okay, so laws are also into groups. Laws of blessings. Laws of matzah. Matzah means this bread that we eat in Pesach. And then laws of challah. Challah means one of the donations that people used to give to a kohen. We don't give this today, for different reasons, but people used to give from the dough a donation to the priests, so to speak. A piece of dough, literally. So these are groups of law, of laws, that sometimes, and this is the interesting part about it, sometimes they actually meet. A specific law could belong to many groups, but that doesn't mean that all the laws belong to all the groups. No. I'll give an example. Matzah. Matzah is a group of laws that has to do with Pesach. So in Pesach, you have to eat matzah. You cannot eat something that is not matzah. So on. We're not learning Pesach. It doesn't really matter for non-Jews. But it's a group of laws that has to do with a bread that is eaten in Pesach. But if today is not Pesach, which actually today is not Pesach, so it doesn't make any sense to talk about matzah, and it doesn't really matter what the laws of matzah are, whether a specific piece of bread is called matzah or not. What do I care? Today is not Pesach. You can eat any kind of bread you want. It has to be kosher, whatever. But I'm not discussing this. Other groups of laws. So suppose a piece of bread that is not matzah, it is called bread, but you cannot eat in Pesach. Or a piece of bread that it is called matzah, it is called bread, and you can eat it in Pesach. So certain groups of laws, they have components of laws that actually meet in different groups. They actually belong to different groups, and sometimes no. So over here, we are discussing blessings. Okay, I want to know which blessing to make on this food. So the Rebbe is saying, even though this food fits, belongs to the group of laws, to be called bread, to separate a piece of dough, and even to be called matzah in Pesach. Yeah, wow. So you might think, since for Pesach it's called bread, for challah it's called bread, for blessings it's called bread. The Alter Rebbe says, no, you're wrong. For blessings it's not called bread. What do you say? What are you saying? It's bread in Pesach and it's not bread today? No, that's not the point. For matzah, we want to know what are the components of this mixture. In this case, it's flour and water. So we're good for matzah. And whether this was actually left, not worked on 18 minutes. If it was left more than 18 minutes, already leavened, and that's not called matzah, that's chometz, you cannot eat it in Pesach. But for today, I mean, for these groups of laws, we don't care about that. Whether it grew, it didn't grow, I don't care. You want to eat something you don't like, it's your problem. It's not leavened, it's not, that's your problem. I just want to know which blessing to make. It's a different group of laws, different dinim, different groups of laws. So even though this is called for challah and for matzah, bread, for blessing is not called bread. Why not? Because people do not fix a meal on this. And it's something that you see in different groups of laws, nothing to do with these blessings and so on. So I'm not going to explain the whole thing, but sometimes the fact that somebody would consider something important makes a difference. In other words, let me give a very, very simple example. Usually, could be is not the best example, but usually if a person wants to honor somebody else, I want to honor you. I want to invite you to my house to eat something and honor you. I'm going to offer you water. So it's not considered like very honorable. In my house, we only drink water. We don't drink any other things. But in any case, it's not considered by halacha, by law, something like honorable. I seat you in a chair and I offer you water. No, that's not like, what kind of drink is this? If you really want to honor somebody, you offer wine. Oh, okay. I'll invite you to my house to drink wine. That's nice. But drink water? What do you mean drink water? No, that's not a nice invitation. And that makes a difference for blessings, for many other details, so to speak, in Jewish law in general. So this is basically lachmanios. This is the definition of lachmanios that the Alter Rebbe brought. It's a mixture of flour and water. Could be called bread, but people don't actually fix their meals on this thing. This doesn't mean that people don't eat this. Yes, people do eat this. Regular crackers are done this way. But that's why it's called a cracker and not bread. It's not something you eat that. You eat your food and then you also eat some crackers. Yeah, let's eat cheese with crackers or crackers with cheese. But it's not like a meal. It's not called a meal. No. Okay, that's, hey, let's move on to number six. That was one word that the Alter Rebbe brought, lachmanios. Now he's defining trukenin, this thing that is a word in Aramaic, forget it, no translation. What does that mean? What's trukenin? Trukenin is like this. You mix flour with water, very soft, really, really soft. It's like waterish. The difference with lachmanios means also something that flows, but it's like a little bit thick. You can't work it with your hands, No, it's not a regular dough, but it's not liquid either. These are two different levels of liquidish mixture. In the case of Trukenin, it's really, really, like really soft, really liquid. And you pour it actually in a hole, and this is the way people actually used to bake in the desert, land of Israel and desert and summer and hot and so on. So they used to actually pour it in a hole in the ground, okay? Or in a hole of the oven or the thing that you're cooking with and so on, until it becomes a little bit thick after having been cooked or baked and so on. This is called trukenin, really, really soft mixture, like almost liquid. In the previous law, it wasn't really liquid. It was a little bit more thick. And also, if you put a lot of this liquid into a pan to the point that it became a little bit thick after baking this or cooking this, whatever. And El Treves says in Yiddish it's called blines or something like that. I don't know what that means. Doesn't really matter. I think it's called like a pancake or something like that. It's really soft. It's flour. It's really soft. And you put it in the pan and it becomes whatever, something. Then you put some cheese or something sweet, or whatever. Depends on how do you do it. Okay, and then the Altrebe says, but beware, because if you're talking about that you did not put so much of this mixture, you put a little bit, some part of this mixture, and then it became, after baked, something very thin, like pancake. This is called trisa, also an Aramaic word. Forget it, no translation. It's called trisa. This would be actually pancake. The previous one looks like a thick pancake. This one is a very thin pancake. This is not even called bread. Forget it. Not even in the laws of challah. This is nothing. I mean, in regards of the word of the laws of challah, this is not called bread. And which blessing you say for this? Of course, you're never going to say a moitzi for this, because a moitzi is a moitzi lechem min ha'aretz, that God takes out bread from earth. This is not even called bread. Bread, I'm sorry. This trisa, this thing, very, very, very thin. And then you say body minimum zaynus. You should say for this pancake, let's call it like that, that God creates all kinds of sustenance. Even if you fixed your meal on that, like I invited you to my house and I offered you 3 kilograms of pancakes, and you ate the 3 kilograms of pancakes, your belly is like, oh, you made me. I ate too much. This is a lot of food. You still didn't eat bread. This is not called bread. I'm sorry. The same thing happens if you actually made a mixture that is very, very soft, very liquidish, on a pan that is actually a big pan, and this mixture got into the pan, I don't know, it got spread out on the pan, and it became very thin, again, a pancake. And then he calls it blintzes. You see, first he called it blines, and now blintzes is all kinds of different pancakes. This is what he's talking about. Thicker, not thicker, whatever. Pancakes. This is the same thing as trisa, forget it. This is not called bread, not even for challah, forget it. Now, not everybody agrees to this. There are those who say that trisa, this thing that we define as pancake, you do say amoitzi lechem min ha'aretz. You do say this bracha. Some people argue with this that I just said, basically. And you say the blessings after the food for eating this amount, a certain amount. And even though there are so many different opinions on different laws, most of the times we don't regard every single opinion. And this is, between parentheses, nothing to do with what we're learning, but we're learning Torah, and it's important to know the ideas of Torah. One of the problems, big problems, of conservative movement. I know that I just changed the subject suddenly too quick, but whatever, you'll understand. The conservative movement has a big problem, the reform, big, even bigger problem. Humbly, I think today there's no such a thing as conservative, maybe some crazy guy somewhere in the United States, but besides that, there's no such a thing. Now, what's the conservative movement? They don't say Torah is not value. Torah doesn't have any value. Forget it. We'll do anything we want. That's reform. I'll do whatever I want. Forget it. And I'll say this is Judaism. Forget it. That's not Judaism. Out. But conservative is in the middle stage between Orthodox and reform. Why? Because conservative, they do care about what the Torah says. Yeah. They're not going to say, the Rambam? Who cares about the Rambam? He didn't have Google. He didn't have Amazon. So forget it. He doesn't know anything. He didn't have artificial intelligence. He had real intelligence. But whatever. He didn't have artificial intelligence. So who cares about the Rambam? That's the reform. The conservative are going to say, oops, Rambam? Yeah, it's important. What the Rambam says is important. But sometimes, just to take an example, sometimes the Rambam is not accepted law. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. Actually, Rabbi Yosef Karo, when he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, he based himself in three huge, important rabbis. The Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh. The Rambam lived in Spain, the Rif in Morocco, and the Rosh, he lived in Germany, and then he went to Spain, whatever. So when the three say the same thing, of course the law is like that. But when two say one thing and the other one argues, so the law goes like the majority. And sometimes he just copies, like copy-paste from the words of the Rambam into the Shulchan Aruch, called the Jewish law. And sometimes he does not agree with the Rambam, okay? You're allowed to. He doesn't agree with the Rambam and he goes through with another opinion. That's fine. That's good. Like when the Rosh and the Rif argue with the Rambam, that's it. You lost. You have two against you, so you lost. That's okay. But the conservatives are going to come to say, hey, but wait a second. The Rambam said this. Yeah, but nobody accepted it. Yeah, but the Rambam said it. I'll do it. What do you mean you do it? We just said the Rosh says different, the Rif says different, the Rashba, blah, blah, blah. They all say different. And you're going to say what the Rambam says? You can't. Yeah, I can. Look, I'll do it. That's the conservative. They're not going to make up a new thing. No. Who said this? Nobody said this. I'm not doing this. But even opinions that were not accepted in halacha, for them, it's fine. Somebody said it, so I'll do it. Having said that, in any kind of laws in Judaism, there are so many different opinions going back and forth in arguments between rabbis and great rabbis and so on. But not necessarily we actually regard every single opinion on every single subject. No, sometimes we say, look, this rabbi is a great rabbi, but nobody accepted what he said on this particular subject. So, bye-bye. I'm sorry. You're out. You're okay and you're holy and we're going to learn your books, but you're not accepted on this law. But maybe sometimes in a different group of laws, oh, this is literally major authority. Do whatever he says, you're going to be fine. So, in this case that we're seeing in the text right now, the Alter Rebbe brought one opinion. What's trukenin and what's trisa? These kinds of pancakes, whatever. Thicker, thinner, I don't know, pancakes. In an oven, in a pan. Okay, pancakes. And then he said, there are those who argue with this that I just said. Some argue. Now, why did he bring some argue? I know some argue. Everything is arguable. So, what are you saying? Oh, so by the end, he says, you should actually worry, but it's actually the middle of the law. You should actually worry this opinion. It's a valuable opinion. He's arguing with the previous one, and for some reason, the Alter Rebbe brought the previous one because it's the most important opinion. However, the second opinion is also important. Oh, so we have two giants over here arguing something. So we can't just say, I'll do whatever I want. I'll do this one, the other one. No. Wait a second. You'll worry about both. You'll worry about both opinions. And you'll try to do things that fit both opinions. Because both are important. So let's see what the other opinion says. The other opinion says that truknin is actually bread. We just defined in the first opinion truknin is not bread. And the second opinion says truknin is bread. So what do you do now? So you have to worry about this second opinion. You should not eat truknin in a way that you fix a meal on that. Because then you're going to put yourself into trouble. Which blessing should I say now? So don't invite anybody to eat this truknin, whatever they mean, these pancakes, thicker or thinner or whatever it is, unless you're going to make a moitzi. You eat a piece of bread, like real bread. Everybody agrees this is bread. And then you eat whatever you want within your meal. Because once you said the bracha of amoitzi, then you don't say any other blessing. That's it. Suppose you're going to eat like a fixed meal, then you bring the bread, but then you're going to eat chicken, and then you're going to eat salad, and blah, 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 whatever you want to eat. So you don't say a blessing for the chicken, a blessing for the salad, a blessing. No, 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 no. You just say a blessing for amoitzi. This is, quote, unquote, food. This is the real food, and the rest is just coming with the bread. So you don't say the blessing for the rest of the things. Unless you're eating something, we're going to learn this, but I don't think today, you're eating something that is not considered part of the meal. So suppose we finished eating. We ate bread with chicken. Okay, very nice. And salads. So we just made the blessing for the bread, and we ate the chicken and the salad. We finished this food. Would you like a coffee? Okay, I'll bring some coffee and cake. Nice, coffee and cake. That's a good way to finish a meal. Very nice. But you know what? The coffee and the cake are not part of the meal. You already ate. Are you really, like, seriously, are you hungry? No, I'm fine. I finished my meal. I finished my food. The bread was very good. The chicken was very good. Thank you very much. Would you like a coffee? Sounds nice. But not because you're hungry. No, I'm not hungry. You don't drink coffee because you're hungry. You don't eat cake because you're hungry. It's very weird. You like a piece of cake, something sweet. Yeah, you like it. I like it. I want to eat it. Okay, it's not part of the meal. Make a blessing. But I just made the blessing for the bread. Yeah, but this is not part of the meal. This is something that comes after the meal, like something good, nice, but not part of the meal. Okay. The Alter Rebbe, I'm going to jump the rest because I wanted to make these points of understanding these words. Was Lachmanios, was Truknin. We didn't define yet Pasababe Kisanin, the last of the three words. We're going to talk about it in the next law. And I wanted to make the point also of laws, different types of laws on different types of situations. The point over here is that a person should be careful that what you eat, you're clear, or the law is clear on what it is. Is it bread? Is it not bread? And sometimes, like this case, this is a perfect example about truknin and trisa and these things. Some opinions are going to tell you this is real bread. And some opinions are going to tell you this is not called bread. So what do you do? The best solution, this is what the Alter Rebbe says, eat it within the context of a meal of bread. So you eat the bread and then bring me all the pancakes. And this pancake, is it trisa or is it truknin? I don't care. I just ate bread. If you can't, because you don't have bread or you don't want to eat bread, I just want to eat the pancakes, you can perfectly say shehakol. This is a law for Bnei Noach. Definitely you can say shehakol, no problem. This is not what Alter Rebbe says over here. But definitely, a person that is not even obligated to say blessings, and you're already saying a blessing for something you want to eat, you can say shehakol, no problem. And the Alter Rebbe said, we learned it in the first chapter, if you say shehakol even for bread, you're fine. It's not the best practice. Yeah, you're right, but you can do that. Best practice for Jews? Okay, we can argue that. But best practice for non-Jews? Of course. Why not? You're making blessings, you're not even obligated. Why am I jumping the whole thing? Because the Alter Rebbe talks about, again, measurements. How much are you going to eat of this? In which context are you going to eat of this? This doesn't apply to non-Jews at all. This doesn't apply at all to non-Jews. Doesn't make any sense. At the end, if you see the end of law number 6, in order to just to be clear, the end of law number 6 is, it's good to be worried, and you know what? Don't eat this except in the context of a meal with bread. That's what he says. But again, for non-Jews, definitely you could eat these pancakes, don't worry at all, and just say shakol and you're going to be fine. It's not going to be a problem.